Betty leaves home at the time she's supposed to meet somebody. So it makes her about, depending on how far she has to drive, 10 or 15 minutes late. But she's very predictable in that. That's Betty. Warren is meticulous. If he's late for anything, it's because he was kidnapped or murdered or something. Always right on time. Maybe just a hair early so that he will never be late. And Mabel. Mabel has all these different things that she wants to do, and she completely loses track of time. She's always late. In fact, 20 minutes to 2 hours late. Well, Betty, when I'm waiting for Betty, I take my journal or a book. It's predictable. It's not going to be long. Just get into this a little bit, and she'll be there. Warren, I bring a stopwatch because it's amazing if he's going to be late at all. I'm going to record that. And for Mabel, I bring my bucket list because I know it's going to be a long, long time. Now, Barbara and I we wait for each other. In fact, we were in Nebraska for a wedding this last week, and just before the rehearsal, we decided we got time, we can go to Walmart because Barb wanted to buy some summer clothes and stuff. So we went to Walmart. And I thought, well, I'll buy a shirt. Need a shirt. So in about 7 minutes, I had the shirt, took it to where Barb was and put it in her basket. And I said, okay, I'll be over with the food. So I just went over and started walking around by the food department, this big Walmart. And so I just said, well, I'm just going to wait right here and I'm going to watch people. And here comes somebody I knew. I hadn't seen her for like 7 years. But here she comes along and she's has her cart and stuff and recognize each other, and we talk there for a while. And we're talking, and then there's another guy that I knew came along, and he had this cart. He was working at Walmart, and he was boxing me in, so I couldn't get away. And that's kind of his way. And then while we were talking, there was a young guy with his wife and a little baby in the cart. And I'd known him since he was about 2 years old. And so we all were talking there. And then it was that Barb came along. She said, "Didn't you get my texts?" I reached down and looked at my phone. I guess I did. She was waiting for me to meet her up at the checkout. And I totally ignored this little... I couldn't hear it, probably. But I enjoyed the talking with these folks. We were a little bit late for the rehearsal because of me. Well, how do you wait? When you have time that you cannot go, you cannot just do stuff, you're waiting for something, you're waiting for somebody. How is it that you do that? My grandson left this when he came to visit about a month ago. I don't know what he's doing now. There's a number of questions in the first chapters in the book of Acts, and I've been kind of developing a little series having to do with those questions. The first one's in chapter 1, and it says... the disciples are asking Jesus, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And then the second question is what I want to talk to you about today. And this one is asked by angels. Let me read the passage from Acts chapter 1, verses 9. We'll go through verse 26, finish the chapter. But in Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 9, this is right after Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Then verse 9 comes, and this is what how we read it. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in this just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together. He said, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his intestines gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language, that field was called Hekeldama, which is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another man take his office. Therefore, as Peter continues, therefore it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which of these two you have chosen to occupy the ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 11 apostles. Did you hear the question? Why are you Galileans looking up in the sky? Why are you Galileans gawking up? Well, Jesus had told them earlier, wait, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise that God is the Father has given. Wait for the promise of the Father. They were told to wait. And here they are, Jesus has taken them out across the Kidron Valley, up the mountain, the Mount of Olives, and right at the top of the Mount of Olives, he said, this great commission to you are going to be witnesses of mine when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then he started rising. I just kind of imagine it. I mean, it's kind of sends chills up my spine when I really realize what's happening here. Jesus says this, you are going to have power. You are going to have abilities that you have never had before when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what you're going to do. And as he said that, his feet left the ground. And he just kept going up. And Jesus, who had been with them for 3 years, who had taught them for 3 years, who had sent them out with authority to cast out demons and heal people, this one who preached the kingdom was coming, who was the God, who was the Lord of lords and the King of kings, this one said, just start rising up. I think I'd be doing what they were doing. I think I'd just, whoa. I mean, I've heard of Superman, but this really happened. And then these two young men said, why are you guys gawking up in the sky? Why would he ask that? Why is this such an important deal? There's a couple of things that occur to me. Because these people did not want Jesus to leave. They wanted him to stay right there. They had this relationship with him. They had this role of trust in him. They had all of these benefits of being with him and sharing this great relationship that they had with him. This is a man walking with God. These people walked with him, talked with him, saw the miracles, saw the resurrection of the man from Nain, and saw Lazarus come right out of the grave. And these were the ones that saw all of these things. These were the ones that were commissioned to do some of those very things. And here is Jesus. And he's talked to them already. I have to go. I have to go. And they said, we don't want you to go. I have to go. It's better for you that I go. But we don't want you to go. We know what we have here. This, we're comfortable with this. We've never had anything like this before. This is the way it is. This is life like we never thought we'd ever see it. This is our experience. This is our life now. You can't leave us. Jesus said, I have to go. Because there's something coming that you need more. And besides that, you need me to do what I'm going to do. And you need the Holy Spirit to do what he's coming to do. And if you think our walk together has been a fantastic thing, you just wait until this purpose is achieved and you will know. So what was Jesus going to do? You cannot hold me back because I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to do two things. I'm going to intercede for you. And there's no other intercessor in the universe than Jesus. No one else can do that. And he's going to prepare a place for us. There's no one else that can do that. That requires the Son of God in the presence of the Father to prepare a place, just as he promised. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto me so that you may be there with me. So there's two things that Jesus had to go to do because that was the plan. What about the things that he was commissioning the Holy Spirit to do? He's about to send the Holy Spirit to them. In fact, in the next chapter, it talks about the experience in which that occurred, which at first happened. Jesus said, if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter to you. The Paraclete, the one who is in front of you, the one who is behind you, the one who is left, and the one who is at the right, the one who is under you, the one who is above you, the one who lives in you forever. Now that Jesus didn't do that. But the Holy Spirit does. He is going to be in you. This is God living in you, and he will never leave you. forever. Yeah, well, we just soon have someone here we can just look at and see. Why not have someone live in you that is God? He will give you great insights. He is going to expose what the Scripture means to you. That's his role in your life. He is going to bring conviction of sin on the whole world. He's going to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16. He is going to glorify Jesus. He's going to glorify me, Jesus said. He will show you things to come. He is going to give you divine ability to do what I have commanded you to do. If this doesn't happen, it's not going to work. It's made this way. Now, that's why Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the two young men, angels presumably, saying, why are you guys, you Galileans, gawking up into heaven? You're supposed to be waiting, not looking up into heaven. It seemed kind of puzzling, because looking up into heaven, isn't that waiting? It occurred to me that the waiting they were supposed to do is active waiting, not passive. Now, when we wait, it's passive. I mean, that's kind of the way we look at it. We go to a restaurant and say we're really hungry, we'd like to eat. They say, well, it'll be about 25 minutes. That's waiting. And if you're really hungry, that's active waiting. We have devices to help us be active in our waiting. We spin these little rascals. When I was a kid, it was a pencil and a ruler. Same thing. Remember that? Or a cassette and a pencil. Fidgets, they're called, I think, right? These are fidgets. Things that they're pretty well meaningless. It makes a passive event active. So that somehow we're engaged. I really don't understand these, except that when you get them spinning real hard, it's hard to just twist them around like this. That's a really neat gyroscope. So here they are, gawking up into heaven, and the angel said, don't try to hold Jesus the way he's always been for you. It's time for you to engage God's plan that exceeds what you thought, that exceeds where you were, that goes beyond where you think you thought he would take you and takes you right to where he is actually going. It's so important for us individually. Now, I have felt, like in the last few months, like I'm waiting. In fact, I've kind of chewed God out a couple of times. Lord, what are you doing? Don't have ministry. What is this? Well, just wait. Just wait. And you can wait actively, like they did when they got back. Notice what they did when they got off of that mountain? Yeah. Sounds funny. But they all came down, they climbed into their Honda, and they started to pray. Well, they met in one accord. I mean, they weren't doing this because it was a civic responsibility. They were on an odyssey of faith here. This is pretty important. But they met in one accord and they were praying. They were calling out to the Lord and wanting God's purpose to be fulfilled in them. And then they began to find all of these things that the Word of God had said, because they realized God the Spirit has inspired this Word. So let's find what he wants done and do it. That's active waiting. Let's find out what God really wants to happen, and then let's do that. And it's really interesting what they found. Of all of the prophecies that they discovered in their searches of the scriptures as they were praying, here was this remote little reference in the book of Psalms about replacing Judas as an apostle. They said, this is what the word of God says. This is what we're going to do. And so they established the criterion for this one who would walk with the Lord from the baptism of John the Baptist, until the resurrection, so that this one could give witness of the resurrection of Jesus. So they had this guy with three names, Justice, and then the guy with one name. Both of them complied with a criterion, and they prayed, and then they cast lots. Boom. Lord, you show us which one of these two? Man, there it is, Matthias. And from that time on, it does say that Peter would stand up with the 11. Matthias was one of them. He was reckoned as the apostle. So they were looking for this in the scriptures as to what would be the thing that they could obey. They wanted to serve the Lord. They were waiting. They were actively waiting. And they were pursuing the scriptures to find out how they could obey. And this was active waiting. This was godly waiting. It beats the fidget. Sometimes in our waiting, we fidget rather than obey. Don't we? We need to be active waiters. Active waiters. Obedient ones. I had found this envelope. Algona EFC Friends. July 28th, 2027. Oh, wait a minute. Post-dated, apparently. Dear friends, if someone had told me about this in 2017, I would not have believed it. What was the Algona Evangelical Free Church has changed a lot. Although the name is different, the mission and values are pretty much the same. The values are still the gospel, truth, community, growth, worship, and mission. We still are committed to loving the Lord as commanded and serving him as commissioned, but things have changed. We pray more than we used to. There's been an awakening of prayer, and a passion has grown within our church concerning God's power to influence us and reach others. We don't make decisions without devoting ourselves to prayer as elders, deacons, officers, and teachers, or as a congregation. We always valued prayer, but it is more of a passion now. We make it a point to pray for the Lord to lead others to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and we pray with each other when we face decisions we make. I think that's largely responsible for the greater compassion that we seem to be known for nowadays. the Lord has trusted us with more souls to disciple in the last few years too. In fact, it's making it hard to accommodate them all. We're finishing a four-phase building plan to make room and to be more effective in worship and community. But it looks like we'll have to start phase three sooner than we thought. Yet even though our church will never be what it used to be, it's obvious that it is becoming more of what the Lord has in mind for us to be. The costs scared us plenty, but somehow the Lord has provided for us. We were a little gun-shy about hiring a second pastor since the 2016 experience we had. But the two newer pastors we hired have provided a teamwork of varying spiritual gifts and callings that have been a great benefit to what the Lord is doing among us. The leadership development strategies have been crucial to the leadership of our church's ministries. The vision to increase leadership so we could export ministry and worship, teaching, and church planting has served our church and other ministries well. It has taken a great load off worship personnel to have enough teams to accommodate the need for two services until phase three is complete. Ministries to special needs groups such as single mothers, financial and biblical counseling, and marriage enrichment have become a great community outreach tool. The greater use of social media and our church's website has also seen great strides in the sharing of the gospel and making wholesome connections among those who have not been reached with the gospel. The discipleship strategy is proving to be a challenge for involvement and commitment, but has produced wonderful results of growing believers. These one-on-one relationships have enriched us more than we often acknowledge. We miss the number of founding saints of our church who have gone to their reward, and we seek to continue the work of reaching others and discipling them as Jesus followers as they reached us. May God grant that hundreds more may come to know Jesus as Savior in the months ahead. May God have full sway among us, and may His Holy Spirit empower us to do His bidding so Jesus can receive greater and greater glory as the days go by. I really think God has a destiny for our church. I think it's necessary for us to be active waiters, seeking obedience, pursuing prayer, pursuing God's Holy Spirit to reign and rule in us, just as it was prescribed by Jesus with these disciples. When the angels ask, "Why are you looking up into the sky?" Devote, they continued. When the Holy Spirit came, this is a little of the next sermon. When the Holy Spirit came, a great event took place. Many people were impacted. And what did they do? They continued to pray. They continued to serve. They continued in their obedience, led by the Holy Spirit and empowered by them. Just want to share one little thing. Forrest, that's his name, first name. A friend of mine, he grew up in Stanton, Nebraska, and was a kid in school, had difficulties, had problems. Sometimes chose the wrong friends and was considered kind of a failure. People, there were some that kind of wondered, well, what's ever going to become a Forrest? It's not Gump, so don't worry about it. Sometime between the time he graduated from high school And the time that Barb and I left the community, he had prayed to receive Jesus as Savior. He went on to school to become a mechanic, specializing in helicopters. And so he started working for a company that took the helicopters to do all kinds of interesting work in Papua New Guinea. So about every 6 or 8 weeks, he goes to Papua New Guinea for about a month. That's like a month on and a month off. We recently became friends on Facebook. And there are times when he'll ask me questions. He's also described something that he's taken upon himself to do. He wasn't raised in the church. He was raised in a broken home. And yet, when he received Jesus Christ as a Savior, the Holy Spirit came to indwell in him. And like the healing power of Jesus, when he touched Bartimaeus' eyes and he could see and cast out demons and so on, Forrest had the Holy Spirit living in him, God in him. And so Forrest began to pray about, what can I do? I'm just a helicopter mechanic, and I'm not even in one place very long. Well, each time he goes to Papua New Guinea anymore, he takes a suitcase full of Bibles. He collects them from his neighbors and from people in his church in Omaha, and he's doing all of these. He collects these Bibles and contacting other groups for Bibles. And most of them are in English. But he takes them to Papua New Guinea. And when he arrives in Papua New Guinea, there's a whole group of people, many of them children, that come running to him because they know that he's bringing them a Bible. Yeah, he's developing relationships with those kids. How did that happen? It's not a church project. It's a Holy Spirit project. God is placed in Forrest, and Forrest is waiting actively to obey what he believes God wants him to do. And God is doing a work. Other missionaries in Papua New Guinea, yeah, there's a lot of them. Wycliffe has a great work there. But Forrest is doing something that only Forrest can do. Authorized by Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, these stories are really meaningful for me. How God's power released in our own lives to carry out the plan of God for people who don't even know God, so that God can snatch them away from the point of danger and bring him into the family of God. Just one little story. What's your story of how the Holy Spirit has changed your life, taken residence in you, and driven you to depend upon him and to appropriate the scriptures to obey him, to be active in waiting so that he does amazing things? I trust we're all on board with that. Otherwise, all we've got is fidgets. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are real, that the Lord Jesus Christ has done what is necessary for us to repent of our sins and to put our trust in the crucified Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sin, to allow us to have eternal life in his name. I pray, Father, thanking you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that indwells all who put their trust in you, so that your power is infused into our own experience, so that your purpose is successful and achieved. I pray that you would help us to stop our fidgeting and start our obedience, to continue the work that you have started in us before it's too late. Lead us, we pray, and mold us into the people you want us to be, not for our own pleasure necessarily, but for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.